Thank you for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by what you hear and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please listen for instructions at the end of this message. Once again, as we have just sung together, Psalm 119, verse 24 is our text this evening. And as you know, we have been singing this psalm for a while, opening one of our services as we were singing through Psalm 119 to do that. And this verse just continues to get my attention along with another psalm. And I'd like to just bring them to us together this evening for our comfort and encouragement. Things we already know, we just need to keep hearing it, which is why the word says so much of the same thing to us about itself and our need for it to be our counsel and comfort. Psalm 119, hear now the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Once more, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Beloved, what could we want more in a time of difficulty than comfort and direction? Charles Bridges asks this question about this verse, related to this verse, in his commentary on Psalm 119, which we have in our library, a big book over 400 pages on Psalm 119, Charles Bridges. I'll ask the question, his question again for you. Again, related to this verse, what could we want more in a time of trouble? Excuse me, a time of difficulty. What could we want more in a time of difficulty than comfort and direction? And he says this, David, the author, David had both these blessings. What are these blessings? Comfort and direction in time of difficulty. David had both these blessings, and so can you. You can have comfort and direction in time of difficulty the same way as David. God's Word. God's Word provides us uplifting counsel. Give that to you as the idea of our verse. God's Word provides us uplifting counsel. Bridges also writes this, probably to his constant regard, that is to David, probably to David's constant regard to their voice be owed much of his earthly prosperity. To the voice of these counselors of God's word, probably much of his prosperity is that he gave regard to it. He listened to the counsel. He delighted in it, as we see. And of course, more than anything, the peace of God. So often David comes to the Lord in the Psalms and thinks about God's word, and he's struggling and having problems. And the difficulties are not necessarily removed at the moment, but the difficulty of being able to handle it is. God gives him the strength. God gives him the comfort. God counsels and directs how to handle it. And so can you. Beloved, so can you find comfort in the counsel of God's word. That's the message for you this evening. Find comfort in the counsel of God's word. And as I was preparing the sermon tonight, not that you might not all often do this and that I don't, but I want to encourage you, when you get home tonight, don't go to bed without a little midnight snack of God's word. You know, when we're hungry, when we need strength and energy, we know to go get food, and we need that, just even a little sometimes. Don't worry about always having the perfect meal. Just go get a little bit and watch how quickly your countenance will improve, just as when Jonathan reaches down to get a little honey in his weakness. After all, the scriptures say elsewhere in the Psalms that God's word is like gold and it's like honey. Find comfort in the counsel of God's word. Every moment you need comfort, it's there to be had in his word. Bridges also writes this, the Christian is a man of faith every step of his way, and this habitual use and daily familiarity with the testimonies of God will show him the pillar and the cloud in all the dark turns of his heavenly road. The word will be to him as the Urim and Thummim, an infallible counselor. And he italicizes counselor. Notice he says an infallible counselor. After all, we know the whole word of God was written by one author, the Holy Spirit, we're told in 2 Peter. So the Spirit counsels us in particular by use of his word, which he wrote, and it is infallible. It is without error. It is never mistaken, and it will never misguide you. In contrast, that is, to the often deceitful counsel of the devil, of the world, and of our own hearts. In fact, in the Hebrew, it literally reads something like this. Also, your testimonies delight me, men of counselors mine. Men of counselors mine. I struggled at looking at that and exegeting it. I didn't see any of our translations really rendering that out. It's not a problem, but I think it's helpful to draw that nuance out. In fact, Bridges does even acknowledge it. He mentions the margin, I assume a version of our Bible. He says in the margin it actually does say men of his counsel. So in a sense, God's word, his testimonies, are like many counselors coming to speak to you. You know, we're told in the Proverbs to get the wisdom of many counselors, and the best counselors to be giving your ear to is all of these different words of God coming to you, like many men, many counselors coming and advising you. Thus, seven times in Psalm 119, there's a theme that we've seen in the past, and it's important to draw again, and it was even in what we sang. Psalm 119 has a seven-time repeated phrase. There's different little aspects to the beginning of it, but you know, repetition in the scripture is like highlighting, right? Or underlining. And the phrase is this, according to thy word. See verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken, make me alive. Well, how is that going to happen? According to thy word. And then verse 28, a little further on, one of the seven times, my soul melteth for heaviness. Now you see that? There's a need for comfort. Comfort from counselors. And what's going to be that helps you? Strengthen thou me. How? According to thy word. Two of the seven times that phrase, according to thy word. But here, the two times close by, we see we are quickened by God according to his word. We are strengthened by God according to his word. As we give ourselves to it as our counselors, we will delight in it. Because it's good, wise, perfect advice. Not like the words of others that go unchecked, but the counselors of every word that comes out of the mouth of God. David Dixon, in his book, The Psalms, by the way, that book and the book on Psalm 119 by Charles Bridges are in our library, and I just want to highlight to you again, we have a marvelous, marvelous library. And I encourage you to keep looking what's there and browse it. I remembered seeing, I think we have a book just on Psalm 119. Why don't I go there to consider some commentary tonight? I encourage you, look, browse, mingle. I have another neat story this week about another book I remembered that I'm able to probably make use of in an upcoming job interview. I really encourage you to get familiar with our library. It has tremendous resources, mainly about God's word. And so this one, David Dixon, one of the Puritans at the time of the Westminster Divines, he wrote Truth's Victory, I think it's called, one of the books I do reflect in membership class, a commentary, the first commentary essentially on the Westminster Confession, I believe. In his book, The Psalms, he writes this, troubles will try men, whether they fear God or men most. And except the godly take heed to God's word, they cannot stand under the temptations wherewith they may meet. If you don't give, godly or ungodly, you're going to have troubles. The question is, how are you going to handle your troubles? And you who are Christians and godly, if you do not come to God's word to counsel you, you can't stand up under it. However, you can endure with contentment and do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth you if you go to him and his word. And he who is the word, John 1:1, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And again, what's the main thing Paul's talking about there? Being content no matter what's happening to you. Bad or good. Sometimes a lot of good things can end up almost being a curse in disguise, we know. Well, how do you know that? By going to Philippians 4:13 in God's word and reading it and going back and meditating. And when you are influenced in your own fear or worry in sin or the sinful influence of the devil or those of the world, you have to keep going back to the true counsel of God's word. Against I can't, yes, I can, through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's from his word. You open God's word and you read it there and you consider it and you meditate on it and you pray it and you believe it and you respond in faith by his grace. And you end up delighting and finding comfort. See, the opposite will be a lack of comfort, discomfort, discouragement, and even despair. Dixon also says this, the word of God is able not only to uphold a man in his trouble, but also to make him rejoice in his trouble. Before you might join me at first with a scratching of head and furrowed brow, isn't that what James says? Isn't that what Paul says? Often rejoice, count it all joy when all these bad things happen to you, right? Well, where's he writing that from in prison? Likely shackled to a soldier at the time. Count it all joy because of what the Lord is doing through you and for his gospel to the salvation of others. When you come to God's word, it not only helps you through trouble, it can help you rejoice in the trouble. That doesn't mean to have a Pollyannish way of just pretending all things are good. No, all things work to your good, but many things are evil and horrible. And yet you can rejoice in God's comfortable presence, fellowshipping with Christ even in your sufferings. You can be, how do you know that? The word of God, right? Philippians, I want to know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings as well as the power of his resurrection, you see. How do you know these things? By God's word. Giving yourself to its study, giving yourself to understanding it properly, as this psalm will even ask God, help me to have that proper understanding. Now, if you can have a rejoicing in trouble from God's word, how much more when you're not in trouble? Although I fear there are many times when we're not in trouble, we don't rejoice as we should because we're not thinking to go to God enough about it and we don't appreciate what we have. Maybe that's why Paul says, I've learned how to be content even when I have a lot of good things. You know, that comes a lot more responsibility sometimes. But you know, when there isn't as much trouble, how much more should we be rejoicing with God's word and our freedom to have it and our privilege of having it and in our own language and not only on paper but on our phones now. I mean, it's everywhere to be had. Whatever the bad things are, so is God's word right there to guide and counsel us. We delight in the Lord taking in the counsel of his word. You know, just like you love to spend time with a good friend, and when something good happens, what do you want to do? Just like when something horrible happens, you want to call your friend and talk. You want to say, guess what? And you want to, that's wonderful, that's great. Well, that's the same with God's word too. We can rejoice and be thankful and rejoice with them that do rejoice. How do you know that? Romans guides us. That being the case, still, you do need the right counsel to rejoice in your trials. David Dixon says, the godly patient shall be advised by the word of God how to answer and carry himself in his trouble. So as we would call one another, how do I deal with this? We're going to counsel one another by his word. And so J. Adams' book, The Nuthetic Counseling Movement, we don't need to go to the world. In fact, they will counsel us against God and his word. We go to his word. We are all competent to counsel, as is the name of his book, based on Romans. We can all bring God's word to one another, and we don't have had to go through the same thing to be able to counsel with his word. Certainly there are special insights in fellowship when we have a sense of going through a similar thing, but we all have God's word. People often say, I don't know what to say to counsel or comfort someone in a difficult time. Yeah, you do. It's the word. It's the word. And every Christian should want to be counseled by it, should be thankful to receive it, because we know we need it. How do you carry yourself? And how to carry us up out of trouble and keep us out of trouble that would otherwise drag us down into death or despair for lack of it? We need God's word. How to carry ourselves, carry us up and out and keep us out. And I asked if it would be okay, and Olivia said, no problem, to share. We were on our Costco shopping spree on Friday before we brought her back to college in Pasadena. And that was her birthday present. That's what she wanted, stocking up for returning to college so she doesn't have to just live on ramen noodles. I don't think she's ever had ramen noodles, but you know what I mean. But what was interesting, as we were just, I think, getting out of the car or just going about shopping, she was feeling extra happy, and there was just this effect in her, and she just couldn't help but say, boy, it's just what a difference it makes when you give yourself to God's word. You know, that morning I had walked in, and she had her Bible open, and I think her confession, and a number of the younger children were there sitting around, making it probably a little more challenging to pay attention, but I was thankful even just for that influence that they observe of their older sister. And the thing is she said, you know, when you read God's word, it makes such a difference starting your day with deliberate Bible reading. It's not that she doesn't read God's word, but we all have our moments. We all have our busy weeks and difficult times, temptations and struggles to be consistent. And what she's recognizing, as she had given herself to Bible reading that day, the whole day was different. That's what she said. And I'm pretty sure she said, and it helps you handle people better too. Isn't that the truth? How to carry ourselves, regardless of how others carry themselves, such as the Proverbs. Now, I've said before, we notice the same family dynamics the days we are better about family devotions, especially as we're all around at the same time and able to give ourselves, to, even if it's brief, often with the children's devotionals. There's a totally different family dynamic with family devotions that morning. And I'm just telling you what you know, but we need to be reminded to keep going back to the counsel of God's word. It actually affects you. It doesn't take the problems away. It helps you deal with the problems as long as the Lord chooses for them to stay. It provides God's personal direction, his personal fellowship and comfort that isn't enjoyed or experienced any other way. Certainly it needs to be with prayer. I think it's somebody, Macmillan, a book on Psalm 23 said, you shouldn't even read the Bible if you don't pray first. And I would say you should. I would also say sometimes the only way, I think it was within the same study, sometimes the only way that you do pray better is after you've read your Bible, though. It can feed you and move you to pray. But don't do it without prayer, of course, and in the blood of Christ, asking the Holy Spirit to guide you, as we'll see such requests in our text tonight. But it gives God's personal direction and comfort. It is his word. It is his speaking. Not only against bad life advice, but also against accusations of your enemies. And that's the immediate context here within this section. Gimel, the Hebrew letter Gimel, that section, there's a little bit in verses 22 and 23 of an immediate context that verse 24 seems to be coming off of. Enemies having lots of bad things to say about them that aren't true. But easy to give yourself to that counsel and start to believe it. How much does the devil not want you to believe all the bad stuff people are saying about you? to make you doubt yourself other than to believe bad things about yourself. And how does he defeat that? How does he defend against that? I'm going to listen to what God's word says about me in Christ. I'm going to listen to what God's word says about my life in Christ, so that you hold fast in the truth about your life and yourself. You see, God's word is your counselor against the accuser's forked tongue by your adversary. As Christ is an advocate to your conscience through his word, speaking the truth. Now remember, all of Psalm 119 is especially about a love for God's word. So many times it speaks of his word, his commandments, his testimonies, as we see tonight, his judgments, all similar ideas for his word, how much of a love for it Psalm 119 has. And here they have that same concern, a love of God's word, and not to be dangerously diverted from it by the words of wrongdoers and bad advisors who will get in your head if you let them, who not only want to cause you to sin, but to doubt your salvation. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, guides you by his word and by his spirit, who is your comforter, who is your counselor, who wrote the word and will touch your heart with it for all things pertaining to life and godliness, both which are full of grief, no doubt, and the need for reassurance and redirection so you stay on the straight and narrow. Beloved, may your testimony be of the effect of God's testimonies guiding you. May your testimony be of the effect of God's testimonies in you as you give yourself to it and delight in it. And it is delightful and is your delight. Such as in earlier in Psalm 119. Let's walk through a few places where this testimony is given elsewhere about the word's effect. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. There's that phrase again, seven times in Psalm 119. According to thy word. How can a young man cleanse his way, get back going the right direction? Well, the devil's going to tell you it's too late. You can't, you've chosen your path now. No, how do you get back? According to God's word. You come back to the counsel of God's word and you listen to it against the foes, especially your ancient foe. Verses 16 to 18, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You see, there's this commitment. I will do these things, such as we'll see in another Psalm 104. I will sing unto the Lord. As long as I live, while I have my being, I will sing. I will meditate on God's word, and it will be sweet to me. I will do this. I will not forget thy word. Verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Lord God, now we're in the section of Gimel that closes with our verse tonight, verse 24. Verse 27, it opens, Lord, deal bountifully with me, that I may live and keep thy word, as we have sang in other parts of Psalm 119 later. Enlarge my heart, incline my heart. How do you know you need that? Because places like Jeremiah tell you that the heart is deceitful. Who could know it? So Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. How do you know to ask those things? God's word that speaks the truth. Lord, help me to live and keep your word. After all, if I'm going to take counsel by your word, I'm going to do what it says, or I won't be delighting. I'll have the other effect of disobedience and its consequences. Verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's there, but help me to see what's there. Help me to put my eyes to it and put my heart to it. Open the eyes of my heart. Help me to see the wondrous things out of thy law. Wondrous, wondrous, wonderful things in God's word. Help me, Lord, to see it, that I can live it. Verses 22 to 23, again, leading into our verse tonight, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. That's the request at the beginning. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. That's such a powerful idea to be thinking about. In the context that people are saying all these bad things, I kept myself meditating on your statutes. Oh, I could give myself to obsess about what they're saying about me on the internet, for instance, or our church. There's a reason, Lord willing, we're eventually going to get to Nehemiah. The elders have asked for that because one thing that we took comfort in with Nehemiah, sorry, I don't have time to read your letter that's full of lies. No, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you distract me from rebuilding the walls, pretending that you want to meet with me and have a discussion when you're only looking to distract me and stop the work. Whatever they're saying about me, I will focus on meditating on the Word of God. And I will not be led off to the left or to the right. Look at verse 104 a little further on. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. There's that contrast again. False counsel. Wicked counsel about what way to go or what way to think about myself. I hate that way. It's false. And lies are of the devil, the father of lies. Jesus is the truth. His name is true and faithful. I'm going to instead give myself to his precepts. That's how I get real understanding. I get understanding. I get wisdom from God's word. Wisdom, knowing how to live life the way God has designed it. I get understanding through your precepts. And then verse 105, this is one we know very well. Often I have it in my head, as many Christian artists have sung it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you know that tune, yeah, I'm trying to get it in there and you can't go to sleep tonight because it's in there, and then open your word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, what is a lamp for my feet? A light to my path to make sure to keep me on the way that's safe. Keep me on the way that's right. That the darkness of this world will often get me off course otherwise. How do I stay on the straight and narrow? How do I stay on the right way through the darkness? The light of Jesus Christ, who is the Word, as he speaks to us by his word, that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That shows the way. I intended to also quote from Isaiah, but I believe I forgot. I'm going to make a note. It says, go this way. Go this way. Proverbs 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. A good life. Eternal life and an abundant life full of Christ's otherworldly peace. May your testimony of God's testimony be this. Psalm 16, verse 7. By the way, what is Psalm 16 about? The resurrection, which closes in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Peter in Acts chapter 2 preaches most of the psalm, remember, to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. How can we know? Because the word of God says the Messiah wouldn't stay dead. Thou shalt not let my soul see corruption. And Jesus Christ, you have all seen, our eyewitnesses, Peter says. He is risen from the dead. You all know it. Therefore, notice he's not trying to prove Jesus rose from the dead. He doesn't have to. What he's proving is because that is the case, you all know it. He is the Messiah of Psalm 16, which says in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. That's interesting. I rein myself into the night seasons. How often is it not in the night seasons? Whatever the temptation, whether it is to do something wicked or simply to go the place of despair and in a worldly mourning rather than a Christian mourning with hope, how often is it in the night season when we need to rein us in? How do we rein ourselves in? By God's counsel. And that is God's word. Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Again, what is that? His word, as we're told tonight in Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies are my counselors. Your word is my counsel. Psalm 104, verse 34. I almost was going to preach this until I reminded or I was able to refresh and realize I already preached it a while ago, and not that I wouldn't be willing to do that again with different aspects, but I realized I had been thinking about our verse tonight, yet I want to give you Psalm 104, 34, because I love the way it states this in terms of the motivation. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. My meditation, so much of seeking God's counsel is meditating on what he says. It will be sweet. And of course, verse 33, I will sing of the Lord. I will sing his praises all my life while I have my being. You do that, you'll be singing praises right into heaven for eternity, singing them still. And then it goes on to say, verse 34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. As you give yourself to God's counsel and you meditate on what he's saying, you will have sweet fellowship with him. As Olivia testified, as you all know, but be reminded of it, go to God's word. Go all the time. Get those little snacks throughout the day. Try to be careful about being the perfectionist. Yes, I know. We who care about the Puritans, we want to prepare ourselves best we can, and we want to have that desk orderly and clean and our computer on and our two commentaries to the right. And you know what? Sometimes just open it up and take a bite. That's all you need. It's sweet like honey. I mean, do you analyze the ingredients on the back of the honey? I mean, some of us do. I know. Just take a little taste. You don't need to read much to see its benefits. There's all kinds of benefits. Health benefits, but just take a little taste. Just a little taste. And of course, give yourself to those times when you can be more deliberate and have a good meal. But keep coming to God's word for your counsel. And when you're struggling to make a decision especially, or when you're struggling to deal and handle something, when you're struggling because of all kinds of things that are being said that are confusing you, and you need to understand what is true, what is right, what do I do? Go to God's word. That is the answer every time. Go to God's word to counsel you and find yourself delighting in it as it gives you comfort. You'll have sweet fellowship meditating on God with him and his word. It will be delight to you. It will comfort you. You know, go have a good conversation with God. Call upon him, seek him out, and listen to what he has to say in return from his word. Can you ever tire of the delightful confidence of God and how he revives in you as you recite the Lord's Prayer? Can you ever tire of the delightful confidence God revives in you as you recite Psalm 23? Does Psalm 23 ever get old? Or reviewing John 3:16, Hebrews 13, verse 5, Isaiah 40, verse 31, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. Now, I had planned to tell you a bit of what those verses say. I'm hoping you generally remember. If not, I'm not going to. Go look them up tonight. Can you ever tire of the comforting counsel of Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer, John 3:16, Hebrews 13, verse 5, Isaiah 40, verse 31, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. And is there any place I really could stop? David Dixon says of King David's peaceful resolve in this verse, he has it, quote, because he had chosen God's word for counselors and comforters. So may you have the same peaceful resolve as you choose God's word as your comforter and your counselor. And remember this. Now, I've quoted it before in sermons because we've paused a lot with a lot of different reasons for our teaching time. Nonetheless, I'm thankful that I'm mindful of it as we're practicing for tonight for this sermon. Shorter Catechism, Westminster Shorter Catechism 86. How does God make the word effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Very good. Some of you got it done already. I won't call on you tonight. But what I want to highlight there is convincing and converting sinners to salvation through faith, right? How do you know it has to be through faith? Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, where's that? In the Word. But in particular, I want to highlight again, as I have before, what does the Lord do for you after he's convinced and converted you by the Word? He builds you up in it. Builds you up in what? Holiness. And particularly what we're thinking about tonight, builds you up in comfort. He builds you up in comfort by the reading and especially the preaching of his word. Well, what's the danger when you're discouraged, when you are distracted, to stay away from his word? That's the design of the devil, of course. Jesus prays for you, sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. The Bible verse for memory tonight, Acts 20, verse 32. Paul says, and I commend you, brethren, to God. Finally, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word of God's grace is what? I commend you, he says, to the word of God's grace. I can entrust you to the word of God's grace. I have to leave. I've taught it to you for 3 years from house to house and publicly. I've taught you the whole counsel of God's word because it's all able to build you up. Charles Bridges also writes this of our verse this evening. What is it to have God's word as our counselor? Is it not to have himself the only wise God? Forgive me for stumbling through that. I'm going to start over. Charles Bridges, what is it to have God's word as our counselor? Is it not to have himself the only wise God? When our Bibles, in season of difficulty, are searched in a humble, prayerful, teachable spirit, we are as much depending on the Lord himself for counsel as if we were listening to an immediate revelation from heaven. Hebrews 4:12, it is the word of God, living and active. You know, so often, well, what's God's will for my life? Sanctification, thanksgiving, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, there you go. You know, everything we need, God's word, we got to give ourselves to it. And we think we need to lick our finger in the air and think the Spirit has spoken in his word. There's so much there to talk to us, to get its counsel. You know, we don't need and we can't have and there is not. Think of the end of Revelation, what's also said in Deuteronomy. The word of God is complete. Don't add or take away. But also, it's all there in the Word, what we need for life and godliness. Give yourself to the counsel of God's word. And it's just as if God has come, is sitting next to you if you were in the spirit. It's just as if Christ is right there speaking to you in the boat on the water. It's just as if Christ is right there giving you the bread and wine when we read the word and quote it in the Lord's Supper. It's as if he's right there speaking in your ear, only better, he's speaking into your heart by the Spirit, by his word. I'm going to read that quote one more time. Charles Bridges, what is it to have God's word as our counselor? Is it not to have himself, the only wise God, when our Bibles in season of difficulty are searched in a humble, prayerful, teachable spirit? We are as much depending on the Lord himself for counsel as if we were listening to an immediate revelation from heaven. Are you forlorn? Are you grieving? Are you doubtful? Are you fearful? Are you worrisome? Are you needing to be uplifted? You can be held up and guided by God's holy presence and heavenly perspective. And this is to be found in your prayerful living reading. This is to be found in your prayerful reading of his living word. And there, in those moments of meditation of God's testimonies, often perhaps in the night watches, where he does speak in the word of giving us even songs in the night, you will testify by God's testimonies that you find comfort in the counsel of God's word. And that is the testimony to you tonight from Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Beloved, the message for you this evening, find comfort in the counsel of God's word. Keep that. I'm going to get it in the skull. Find comfort in the counsel of God's word, because you and I are so tempted to go somewhere else to someone else, aren't we? And you got to stop yourself and say to yourself, Psalm 119, verse 24, find comfort in the counsel of God's word. And I trust that God has given you comfort tonight as you have given yourself to the counsel of his word and this testimony of his testimonies for your delight and comfort, for your sweet fellowship and meditation. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are often troubled, though not in despair. Oh Lord, we are often facing so many problems and afflictions, but we know we can often see how you use them all for our good. We know that you will allow the godly to go through much tribulation. Protect us from the unwise and wicked counsel of the devil and the world and your and our enemies and our own deceitful hearts. And bring us to the feet of Christ to listen to you in your word. Sanctify us in your word. Counsel us by your testimonies. And let it be our delight and comfort as we are revived and reformed and refreshed and said, and we say, oh, I didn't know that, or I did know that. Thank you for bringing it back to me. And as we rejoice in the truth of your word, as we rejoice in you and your fellowship in the Spirit, as you would speak to us as if straight from heaven, remembering our lives are hid with Christ in heaven, set our affections on things above there, and not on earthly things, as we give ourselves to your holy living word and let it transform us by the renewing of our mind and conform us more into the image of Christ for your glory, for our good, and for our witness to the watching world. We pray in Jesus' name, and all your people of the word said, Amen. Thanks again for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by our sermons and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please click on the Give button at the top of any of our sermon audio pages to support us with your online donation. Or visit our website at puritanchurch.com and click through the Give button at the top right of your screen. And if you prefer to send your support through the mail, please make your check out to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church and send it to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church, 6374 Potomac Street, San Diego, California, 92139. Thank you.